Welcome to Siptaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
Welcome!
I'm here.
We're by ourselves this week. It's weird.
I know. We've been so many guests. Just nice to get back to basics. Just me and you talking about Trek.
Cuddling on a love seat.
That's right. You can't see us now, but we're very, very close.
Very intimate.
So, we have a very special episode. We are going to do a little primer on a character that maybe you don't know much about.
We're going to be seeing shortly.
Yeah, so Star Trek Discovery has a character coming back, Harry Mudd, which showed up in two...
Hardcore Fenton Mudd.
Yes. He showed up in two of the original series and one of the animated series. So we're going to cover kind of all the stories and kind of get into his character a little bit. Mm-hmm. We don't really know what his role is other than...
Officially.
Some type of villain or, you know...
Anti-hero, at least.
Yeah, protagonist. Or antagonist.
Antagonist. Well, the Klingon's the main antagonist. I would assume he'd be like an anti-hero or distraction.
A thorn in their side kind of thing.
That's what he usually is, so...
Yeah.
But maybe he's playing a more helpful role in this.
Yeah, so he's played by Rainn Wilson in the Discovery.
Office fame.
Yes, from Office. And I mean, he's been in a lot of other stuff since then. But so, yeah, it's going to be cool to see him. So, but I thought we should go back... Yeah. And talk about...
Old school Mudd.
Because Rainn Wilson seems like he's a little more hardcore in this than... I mean, from the brief, like, two pieces that we saw him in the trailer. He seemed a little more intense than the Harry Mudd we know from the original
series.
Maybe
he gets so scarred, he's just like, I've got to be... Or maybe it's the therapy that he talks about having to get...
Yeah, but that happened all beforehand, so...
That's true. But, I mean...
I don't know.
Maybe the therapy wears on his personality.
It just wears on
him. It makes him even more eccentric.
It could be. But before we get into that, there's a couple things. Dave, you wrote a nice little piece for the Geekiverse talking about Discovery.
Yeah, I did a piece on the trailer. Tribbles, because Tribbles are supposed to be in the show for whatever reason, and then that little bit also about Nicholas Meyer's supposed con project, which may or may not be a real thing. So that was kind of fun, just having a nice speculative article and talking about what Discovery is looking like it's going to be.
And just so people know, that's at the Geekiverse.
TheGeekiverse.com.
And that's in one of their current articles, so if you want to go and read that. And I'm sure we can just...
And I also shared it to the Facebook group.
But in case you're not part of the Facebook group, just look that up at TheGeekiverse.com.
Sure.
It'd be definitely worth checking out.
And there's sad news.
I don't know. Well, it's not sad because it's... I mean, I guess it's sad in a way because it's... disheartening.
Incredibly petty.
Yeah. So we just heard, like, it was 2 or 3 days ago that LeVar Burton is being sued
by Buffalonians.
Yeah, by people.
They're making
from
us look bad.
Yeah, I know. If you didn't know, we record out of Buffalo, and one of our PBS affiliates, WNED, is suing LeVar Burton over the use of Reading Rainbow.
over the use of a phrase.
Right. So, should I say a few things about this here?
Go ahead.
This is an article that was posted, let me see here. Yeah, but 2 days ago is when, jackasses? 2 days ago. Thanks. Can't give me the actual date. Anyways, so here we go. This is from the WGRZ Channel 2 site. It comes up here. Buffalo, New York, WNED-TV, the PBS affiliate in Buffalo, is suing former host of one of the most popular children's television shows in history. The broadcaster filed a federal lawsuit against LeVar Burton, accusing him of copyright infringement, breach of contract, and other civil violations of law. Burton was the host of the show Reading Rainbow, which was produced by WNED from 1983 until 2006. Burton and WNED had been an ongoing legal battle for more than a year, but this new lawsuit just filed days ago in federal court in Manhattan. The overall legal confrontation dates back to 2011, when both sides agreed to a deal on to license digital aspects of Reading Rainbow brand to Burton in exchange for royalties. The relationship went south, and by 2015, WNED sought to terminate the deal. So, just to skip ahead a little bit, because it gets a little bit silly here, but so one of the examples, the television station says Burton ended his podcast by saying, "But you don't have to take my word for it." That was a catchphrase from the Reading Rainbow show, and WNED contends that Burton is violating copyright protection by his unauthorized use of this phrase. He also accused of using www.readingrainbow.com and other websites to direct people to his own site to sell products and services.
Well, so, if they're linked on the site, why is that an issue? And B, that's a string of words anyone can put together, and anyone in any kind of authority should put together for, like, yeah, you don't have to take my word for it. Research it. Check me out. I mean, that's just being responsible.
But it was with Reading Rainbow. LeVar Burton would say, "You don't have to take my word for it," as in, like, you don't have to say I thought this book was great, you know. But you don't have to take my word for it. You should read it yourself. So that's kind of the idea behind it.
Sure, but that's a string of words anyone could say.
And I bet you 99%, I bet you that LeVar Burton came up with that on site when they were filming, and it was his catchphrase, but they said, "Oh, that works. You should do that for everything." Okay, yeah, let's keep doing that. So it became like a catchphrase that was came
probably
up
says
on,
it in
on set. Yeah.
Take my
the engine's cores needs to be ejected. So,
later you remembered the loop thing.
So, just to bring up this, the money was involved, that there was a post terminated pledge of $2.5 million to the Raymond's Capital. So that was Raymond's Capital was basically representing LeVar Burton for his side of his business to kind of do the digital aspect of Reading Rainbow. So, it's one of those things. It's like, I understand, like, they're probably trying to protect some kind of property, but there's two things to think. I mean, I have a problem with. One, you're, like you said before, a catchphrase and maybe directing people to site for people to buy swag. You know, it's like, and that's if you're worried about.
If he's telling people to go to Reading Rainbow, that way you can see some of my stuff. I'm like, if that's an issue, why is this stuff on the website?
Right, right.
Like, exactly. That blows me away. And then second of all, if you say Reading Rainbow to anybody who's familiar with what Reading Rainbow is, the first thing they're going to think about is LeVar Burton.
Absolutely.
Like, it's not synonymous with WNED. It's synonymous
with... Nobody thinks WNED with Reading Rainbow.
Exactly. They think PBS, maybe, and then they think LeVar Burton, absolutely, for sure.
Right. And on top of that, so LeVar Burton obviously has done plenty of TV. I mean, Next Generation is why we're talking about him, because he was, he's done the TV shows, he's done the movies,
Kuna Kente,
He played in Roots. I mean, he's played in a ton of stuff. I mean, obviously, Star Trek fame is what really pushed him over the edge. But the man has been doing Reading Rainbow, like I said, from 1983 to 2006.
The year I was born.
He's been doing it for 23 years. And that's not even talking about the stuff
he... I watched it all the time as a kid.
I watched it, too, when I was younger. So, I mean, like, I was you know, a little older.
About 10.
Probably shouldn't have been watching it because I should have been just reading. But
but hey, it's
or kissing Burton. Girls or something. But I don't know.
At 10?
Not 10, but but so yeah, I don't know. It's like so this guy obviously it's a passion to create literacy with children and get them interested in reading. Why are we shooting ourselves in the foot over this? Like, this seems like...
Is it because Donald Trump is defunding, like, PBS and other, like, things like that?
I've heard some people...
Look for money!
I've heard people say that, and maybe that is some bit of it.
But I mean, the litigation's been going on since before Trump was president yeah. So
yeah.
It's not...
Yeah, they said 2015, yeah, that was when this thing started. So, I mean...
It's not the entire issue.
I don't know, it just... It's like, it just seems like too much... You're sinking the whole... You're scuttling the whole ship.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
You're souring the water, and then people will be like, oh, fuck this show. I don't want to watch it anymore. You know, I don't want... It's just ugliness.
Yeah, and especially if they're going after their previous host who hosted it for the majority of my life.
Yeah.
This is how long he's been doing it.
Right.
It's insane. I mean, it just seems petty.
Right. So
and over a catchphrase, like I said, any words that could be spoke together and anything... You know, like I said, like, I mean, like, my dad was a preacher, and, like, my dad even did, like, a whole, like, thing on, like, look, I'm a preacher, and I'm telling you what the Bible says and this and that, but, like, don't just take my word for it. If I'm wrong and you figure something out, you read something, challenge me, like, or, like, use other resources. I'm not the end-all, be-all on
this. So WNAD is going after your dad next.
Yeah, too, yeah. My dad.
I heard you used our catchphrase. That was 20 years ago. Oh, we don't care.
No, but it's the string of words that anyone can put together. And people who are in positions of authority that speak on things should put that out there.
Well, and like I said, he's trying to get kids to read. That's the meaning of it. And it's just a silly thing. It really is silly. And it just shouldn't happen. I don't know. I don't understand why it's got to get to the point where it is. So,
and I mean, there's probably reasons that aren't mentioned in there. I think things get publicized that aren't quite exactly how they really are. You know what I mean?
That might be true. There might be more to it. Maybe there's something. Maybe LeVar Burton's company, that Raymond's Capital, is doing some shady stuff behind the scene, and LeVar Burton's being taken advantage by his name. I don't know. I'm just reading what's been reported, but it still seems kind of shitty.
Yeah, I just don't see like LeVar Burton doing this as like some kind of like. He just doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
He seems like a guy who could... He obviously probably makes money off the royalties of Star Trek fame. He probably has royalties coming from other, you know, places. He's been on TV and he's been in movies, but... And I'm sure he's still working,
like, so... Children's education is a passion for him, so why sully the waters?
Yeah, right.
That's basically what it comes down
exactly,
to.
Exactly, exactly. So, I don't know. If you want, you know, tweet LeVar Burton, tell him we're on your side, or tell WNED, go fuck off. You know?
That's one of the things you can do as a passionate listener.
Yes.
We don't mind.
Or do an opposite. Tell LeVar Burton to fuck off and WNED say we're on your side. So whatever you think.
Whatever you feel, we just feel it's kind of petty. But like I said, we may not have all the facts and articles may not be representative of the whole truth.
As somebody would say... But you don't have to take my word for it.
But you don't have to take our word for it.
Oh, no! WD's coming!
Anderson the Hollis.
Oh, no! So anyway, so that's where that's at, unfortunately. But that's all we have, really, for news.
Yeah, Star Trek Las Vegas wrapped up last week while we had Joe DePinto on. I haven't noticed any really big news for Discovery other than anything that came out of Star Trek Las Vegas. There was two panels, if you go to the Star Trek... Discovery, the official YouTube page. There's two panels. There's one with the writers, the three writers, and there's one with two of the Klingon actors and two of the Federation actors doing a panel. And I would keep checking it, looking for more panels from STLV, but there just weren't any. I don't know if they're just not going to put them up or if they're
lazy. Because
I knew there was supposed to be one with Glenn Hetrick and the other guy who did the Klingon makeup. So I was excited to see that one, but. That one never made it to the webpage. But those two I watched are pretty good. It's kind of interesting seeing you know, the writer's background and how the you know, the actors are. It was interesting, interesting watch. And so, I mean, it's made me feel a little bit better about Discovery as far as like the content wise. So I'm a little bit more excited about it. So.
And you got from your article, you're telling me you got a little pushback that people are saying, oh, this is going to fail.
Yeah, some people were saying that you know that the Discovery is going to fail, and basically, you know, let's not doom it ourselves by just saying it's going to fail and not subscribing to it because, oh my god, $6 is so much money. That's like less than the price of a movie ticket. And some people say, oh, look, let's wait till the DVD comes out. The DVD will probably be between $60 and $100. Star Trek DVDs are not cheap. Like $6.99, that's nothing.
Right.
Give it a chance. If you don't like it after you've given it a chance, fine. I can't tell you what to do. I mean, you don't even have to listen to me now. But
you don't have to take his word for it.
You don't have to take my word for it. But I mean, like, just give it a chance. Like, don't condemn it to die. I mean, I regularly rotate through premium channels. I had Stars to watch American Gods. I turned that off when Game of Thrones came on. Watching Game of Thrones and Game of Thrones HBO will be going away, so I can get Star Trek Discovery on All Access.
It's a new. So a lot of people always complain that, you know, they paid their cable bills and their cable bills are ridiculous and they only watch like maybe 4 or 5 channels, which same thing with me. I'd be like, I only watch like 5 channels. The rest of it, I don't even know what's on because I don't care. A lot of people are cutting the cable and they're just doing premium services of what they want to, you know, you're doing Netflix, Hulu,
Amazon,
mm-hmm. you know, Amazon or whatever, you know, so people are picking those certain things that they want to tune into or the shows that they want to watch. And I think that's the way to go. It would be nice if some of those prices came down a little bit.
Sure.
But, you know, you're still getting more. I mean, you're not just, I guess I know you don't want to watch The Good Wife, but you are not just getting just Star Trek content. There's the whole CBS All Access content that's coming with it as well. So,
as well as all access to all past Star Trek episodes, all the Star Trek episodes are up on CBS All Access. So if for some reason you aren't subscribed to Netflix,
right. That
could be your source for all past Star Trek. And, you know, if you're upset at CBS, vote with your dollar. Just subscribe to it during the month Star Trek Discovery is on and then cancel immediately until the either A, put the show on Netflix or some other thing because it's just not worth having it on their service.
Crackle.
Crackle. Yeah, go on the anime service or Crunchyroll. Yeah, it'll put it on Crunchyroll. No, but, you know, either make it, which I don't think will happen. A is not likely to happen. But B, if we take our money away as soon as Star Trek's over, maybe they'll be like, hey, all these people left after Star Trek was over. Maybe we should make more Star Trek. And keep them. Like maybe it'll show them that we need more to keep us.
Sure.
On All Access. Because sure. I'm going to cancel All Access once we're done talking about it on the show.
Right. Right.
So,
well, why keep it?
I mean, Discovery is literally the only thing I'm going to watch it for.
Right.
So, I think we should do that. Solidarity. Like, vote with our dollars. Make them see a spike, then make them see a dip. And then we'll see, hopefully, more Star Trek.
The only bad thing is there's a lot of probably people who, you know, who can't afford that. And so it's sad because a lot of people won't get access to Star Trek. You know, Star Trek was always something you just tune in and you could be the average Joe and watch an episode and just be blown away. Like you got some awesome story that you just would never.
Yeah, never have seen otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Star Trek always has done the weird thing. I mean, like, you know, Voyager paved the way for UPN and. Like I said, UPN back when in the bayou of Louisiana, UPN wasn't on our cable, so we had to disconnect our cable and hook up rabbit ears to be able to even view. So Star Trek wasn't always. I mean, even
were you wrestling alligators and
while I was doing that, yes,
dodging hillbillies.
Yeah, I've seen a tailless alligator and I've seen an albino alligator, and I hatched baby alligators in my own hands. I am not making this stuff up.
He only has 3 fingers.
This is for real. this guy I went to elementary school with, his parents owned and operated an alligator farm. So I got to have a baby alligator hatch in my hand. I saw a tailless alligator, an albino alligator, and alligator feeding time as a field trip at least twice.
You lived a very unusual life. So, yeah, I agree. I think that, I mean, the All Access, I think we should vote with our dollar. I do lament the fact that it's not going to be easy for other people to get their hands on. But it is what it is. And I've, you know, we've exhausted the topic, and I frankly just don't want to talk about it anymore. It is the reality.
It's the reality, and that's where I'm at. The Star Trek has got Discovery's got amazing production values. That's where that money is going. Yes, some of it's going to CBS. Hey, you may not like CBS. I don't care if you don't like CBS. If you're a Star Trek fan, support Star Trek. That's what it comes down to.
Damn straight.
Don't let Star Trek die for another 15 years.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Because in my book, more Star Trek is always a good thing. Speaking of more Star Trek, Harcourt Fenton Mudd comes to Colin.
Harcourt Fenton Mudd. So this, instead of Rainn Wilson, is played by actor Roger C. Carmen.
He should have been Carmel, so many sorry. More things. I love him so much.
Yeah. Well, he did play in a lot of stuff, but he...
But he wasn't a carrot on Lost in Space.
No, not like Cyrano Jones from Trouble with Tribbles. So we first get introduced to Harry Mudd in Mudd's Women, which is season 1, episode 7 or 8. I can't remember
now. Yeah, it's pretty early.
And first aired October 13th, 1966. Real quick, so basically the Enterprise is chasing a small cargo vessel. And they're in an asteroid belt, and the ship's going to basically overheat their engines. And so what the Enterprise realizes, they're going to blow up, so they extend their shields around them, and then they start beaming people aboard.
And but for some reason, the lithium crystals start bursting.
Right. Lithium crystals,
lithium.
People.
Lithium ion batteries for my laptop? What?
Lithium crystals.
Crystal. Wait, no. I thought they were dilithium crystals.
So I guess they changed this later on to dilithium. But anyway, so...
Maybe dilithium is just a more efficient version of lithium.
Or more made up. But anyways... both. Yeah, it is both. So Harry Mudd's ship is... his engines are going to blow up. They beam Harry Mudd aboard. But then they have the rest of his crew brings over them... And they are not your average crew member.
They're not so much the crew. They're the cargo.
So there are three beautiful women.
Two beautiful women.
Two beautiful women.
I don't know. I wasn't a fan of the girl in red.
Oh, well, I mean, they're still beautiful. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, like if she was like, Dave, you'd be like, nah.
I'd probably be like, nah, I don't like her.
Nah, I can't do it. Sorry.
The girl in the green, though, I really like.
Yeah, she was nice. Well, anyways, so they're brought aboard, and they have this just magnetic draw for the men. They just cannot, like, stop drooling.
Transporter room, respond.
I know.
Transporter room.
And I just love, like...
Give me pictures if you're going to be jerking off, okay?
So Spock seems amused, but...
He also doesn't respond.
He doesn't respond either, but he's just sort of just watching the whole thing go down. Scotty and McCoy are, like... just out of their minds.
Transfixed.
Yeah.
I mean, they're mostly dressed. I mean, granted, they're weird dressed, but...
Weird. Well, it's the 60s.
Yeah.
You got to give it a little...
It's really weird.
But...
I like the purple outfit, though. It's really weird.
Okay, but this is not about the women. This is about Harry Mudd. So
Harry Mudd. That's right. Sorry.
So, I know.
It's called Mudd's Women. It's about the women.
So, Harry Mudd comes in. Harry Mudd is wearing...
A bifold hat.
A bifold?
It's not a trifold hat, because he's got part of it still down.
Yeah, sort of like a swashbuckler hat, like from the Three Musketeers. He has...
Giant belt buckle.
He has an earring on the one ear.
Which is like an orb.
It's very large.
It's a very large orb hanging from his ear.
Handlebar mustache. And, like...
Balding.
But slightly balding, but... And he's got this, like... I don't like...
Swagger.
Yeah, piratey thing, and he talks a little like an Irishman, but not quite.
An Irish pirate.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to figure out where
he's... all his own unique thing, and I love everything about Harry Mudd.
Yeah, he is completely unusual, and so he is... Well, he said...
But the way he looks, I don't imagine him being like that crazy awesome pilot that he looks like he sort of is flying into the asteroid belt, because he's doing like the... crazy Han Solo thing running away from the Imperials.
This might be insane.
Yeah, but like at the same time, like, I don't know, he just doesn't seem like that pilot-y type to me, but...
Well, he introduced himself as Leo Francis Walsh, and, you know, he, you know, obviously says these women are my cargo, And
that's
like,
weird.
They're like, what? So you're a human trafficker? What
is- you're a sex trafficker? What is this?
So he's
a space pimp.
Yeah, I'm a space pimp, baby. So anyways, so
sometimes you gotta smack him.
Oh no.
A pimp named Slickback. I love the Boondocks. The pimp named Slickback episodes are pretty awesome.
So Walsh or Harry Mudd says that the captain, took with the cargo ship. He didn't know who the ship was. Just was chasing after them. He's like, I don't know who you were.
I'm just trying to
deliver my cargo. So the women were to be brides or wives to another colony. And apparently there's a shortage of men where they come from. Like, the one comes from a place that's all robot farms.
Robot farms are her brothers. The only men she's ever known were her brothers.
And they all walk in with their dirty boots.
Yeah. Just like Picard and his brother did. And
must be a man
and family.
Thing. Yeah, must be a thing.
Or a vineyard thing.
And so that's where they're en route, but apparently they're not going there now. And the Enterprise, unfortunately, is in this predicament where their dilithium crystals burned out and one's cracked and ready to give, that all the circuits of all the power of the ship is running through these crystals.
Just one more crystal and it's going to die. And I like how they call him a jackass. I was like, ooh, that's kind of like...
Yeah, it's...
That's kind of racy for 60s television. 60s.
Well,
a jackass.
There's a lot of racy stuff going on. And not just that, it's... I'm going to say, all these three episodes, if you're, like, really sensitive to, like, how people, you know, portray women, you probably are not going to like these episodes. These episodes are pretty... dated in their treatment of women.
Very dated.
Yeah, I mean, it's an old 60s.
Which is also why I'm wondering why they're bringing Harry Mudd to Discovery.
Yeah. And, like, do you notice, like, everything he does is, like, based on, like,
women
or sexual libido and stuff like that? Like,
pretty much. So that's what makes me wonder what he's going to be doing in Discovery.
Yeah, it could be something crazy. Who knows? An orgasm pill. I'm having an orgasm.
Michael Burnham, you can use this. You look so grumpy.
I'm having an orgasm. Just slipping in everyone's coffee. They're all like,
and he in his pants.
And then, like, the ship crashes into a Klingon ship, and that's how the war starts.
Yep.
That'd be actually. That might be it.
But he's playing both sides. He's also giving the Klingons the orgasm pill.
Yeah. And they're just punching their boners.
Bat laughing them. Self castration.
Anyway, so like I said, he's delivering these to be wives for settlers. And they basically was like, well, that's not going to happen. And they find out through a computer. I don't know, lie detector.
He's
not who he says he is. He's
hard. The women are also not very well educated because they think the machine can read minds.
Well, you know, they're farm women.
That's true.
I mean, what have they seen?
This is a hoe and this is a scythe.
These are the robot workers that do all the work.
Oh, okay.
So, all right.
We don't know how to cook.
I love how these, like, women, what is it, to learn to cook for men, you know, I don't know.
It's very, like, this is the perfect 60s life.
Well, you know, what's funny, too, is I got the feeling that this was sort of like settlers. Like, it was almost like an old Western, like, bonanza kind of thing. Like, we're bringing women out to the settlers to start a new families and stuff like that.
That's true, because, I mean, that's how Gene Roddenberry pitched the show, is Wagon Train to the Stars.
I really...
So, like, if you think about it that way, it's kind of... It's an allegory for bringing women out west.
Yes.
And a lot of the women that came out west initially were prostitutes.
Male and brides? What are the
male
ones?
Male order brides?
Male order brides. That's what they are. Okay, so the nearest repairs for the ship for the dilithium crystals, or I'm sorry, lithium crystals, that are all messed up is Rigel 12, and apparently it's like 3 or 4 days away. So they're
isn't Rigel like where they first go to Enterprise, like one of the Rigel planets?
It could have been.
I think it was Rigel.
can't remember.
That's a pretty bustling place, and this place they go.
Well, this is a mining colony, so this might not be the Rigel that we're thinking, because this place looks like it's
a different
number. It looks like it's a shit town. Like, you don't want to be here.
It's awesome. There's, like, all these, like, salt storms, I guess. And, like, they've got these really fancy-looking metal domes when you go inside their caves for some reason.
Yeah, it's like, oh, the salt must be crawling up the walls. I don't know what's
they
going
should have
on.
Just brought the salt vampire here. He could just put its hands up and suck salt out of the air.
Oh, he'd be like, yeah. Wait, this is lithium salt. This isn't regular sodium. This is toxic for me. Or maybe it gets high. I don't know.
Who knows?
So, during this,
Mud's basically trying to get the woman to take over the ship. And the most important one, the one I find least attractive, is after Kirk. And she cannot go along with the plan.
She has a conscience. So that's Eve that you're talking about. Eve has a conscience. And she tries to sort of seduce Kirk, but then sort of is like, I can't do it.
But Kirk's almost kind of pulling away a little bit. He's like,
He's like, I don't know what you're
doing. Funny.
Your face is all jacked up. Well, here's the thing is what we realize halfway is that he gives him some kind of pill called the Venus pill or Venus drug. And this makes you, if you're a man, more muscular, more...
Why doesn't he take it?
I know. And women become more sensual, more...
More round, as he likes to say.
More round. So...
It also magically fixes their hair.
And, I mean, are these like when the drug wears off, they look like old ladies.
They look like hags, and then but their hair also gets really bad. And then as soon as they take the pill, their faces are perfect.
Everything's amazing,
and their hair goes back to amazing.
Right. So it has this weird drug thing. So this, I don't want to drill down on the drug thing because we're not really talking about the whole thing. Is super fascinating to me. This Venus drug. I mean, someday I'd like to go back and talk about this episode alone and just get into it. But it's really, really interesting, the dynamics of it. But so the women obviously are chasing after the Venus drug dragon, trying to stay beautiful. They get to the. They basically contact the miners from Rigel 12 and say, hey, we got these women for you. They want to be your wives, but you got to let Harry Mudd go free.
Yeah, so they negotiate this thing so they can, because they know the Enterprise is going there for lithium. And so he's like, oh, well, these men are rich. They'll make you dukes. They'll make you duchesses and queens and whatnot. And they're like these like poor podunk people who live in caves.
Well, and yeah. Maybe they are
don't know better than to put their pans out in the salt winds to get them scrubbed.
Don't we have replicators? What's going on? I mean, I don't know. It's a weird time. It's early TOS,
super early TOS.
They don't have it all worked out. But anyway,
fancy pans though.
And there's this whole like drama, like they're like a bad high school dance between the miners and the Muzz women. The hell you will, and they start a fight. And
it's the first woman I've seen in 3 years.
So,
I'm sick of fucking you, Bob.
That's right. I've been sucking your dick for all this time. So,
Eve runs away because I guess she's the least pretty and she knows it.
She's like, well, why don't you dance with each other instead of me? She runs off into the salt lithium storm. Dust storm. And they have to track her down.
Kirk looks for her. The balding guy looks for her. Kirk gives up because, yeah, she's not hot enough. Beams back up to the ship. And then the balding guy finds her, picks her up.
Childish.
Me, Tarzan, you, Jane. And I just could not wait to see him bust her head against the wall because it looked like he was going to.
Well, and then he brings her back and she's cooking for him. And he's like...
I'm not going to like say, oh, wow, woman's cooking. Woo, woo. I taste better by my own hands. No.
And then he's like, it's okay.
I've had better.
It's actually pretty good. But, yeah, so anyways.
It's really weird. And then Kirk and Harry Mudd come in because they see there's a cook fire going.
And they basically explain to him the whole Venus drug and what it does. And then there's a weird twist in the end where she gave him some basically gelatinous pill, but is not the Venus drug.
They gave her small piece of jello.
It's just a placebo.
But it still fixes her hair immediately.
And she becomes beautiful again. So the whole thing, that part kind of like, if you just believe in yourself, you'll be beautiful. But the drugs do something or don't do anything. I don't really understand. Anyways.
Well, I feel like I don't think she got any prosthetics whenever they made them look ugly. I feel like they just kind of like caked extra makeup on to make her skin look bumpy.
Yeah.
And then they just like
messed her hair up.
Because the girl in the green, she definitely got facial prosthetics whenever she...
Yeah, they gave her that wrinkle stuff that make your skin look real wrinkly.
Yeah, she looked bad whenever she got old.
So that happens, and then, they said, well, we want to... Basically, they're going to stay together. So the wives are going to stay with
she was like, do you want someone who's going to be a partner? Someone who's going to, cook and clean and
be here with you?
Do the 60s wife thing? Or do you want someone who's vain and someone who's useless?
Yeah.
And greedy or whatever.
Vain and useless? Maybe. Anyways, so they're going to stay together, and Mudd is coming up with them. He says, and Kirk makes a joke, I'll be a character witness for your trial. And he goes, I'll throw away the key.
It's such a great little moment, and it's something that makes me so sad, because reading through the memory alphas for these three episodes, they were going to put Harry Mudd in Star Trek IV when they were calling for character witnesses for James T. Kirk on his trial. And I'm like, no, why didn't they do this? I would have loved to have seen him in
that would have been cool if he made a... People would lose their shit, too.
I would have loved it.
Harry Mudd, oh my God, that's awesome.
I love Harry Mudd.
So that's the end of Mudd's Women. But we get the introduction of Harry Mudd, and interesting character, but strange that we get him back again in I, Mudd, which is season 2, episode 12, and this first aired November 3rd, 1967. So this one's a little different. Basically, it starts off with this chance encounter with Spock, McCoy, in a...
new crewman.
Yeah, crewman Norman or whatever his name was going at the time.
Norman Osborn.
So
Spider-Man.
Goblin.
Green Goblin.
Green Goblin. Yeah. I got him on my shirt here.
He's mechanized. Oh, yeah. He does have Green Goblin.
I got Green Goblin on my shirt. I'm wearing him. Anyways.
I'll get Doctor Strange on my shirt if you want
to. I know. We're marveling tonight. So there's Norman. McCoy says there's something weird about that guy. He's all about business. He doesn't make any small talk.
And Spock's like, that's my kind of guy. I think I can hang out with him.
I want to go on and get to know that guy. He's avoided like two physical exams.
He wants to get away from your beads and rattles.
You voodoo doctor. So
it's an interesting thing for Spock to point out.
I thought that was kind of a funny little shot he gave him. Well, next, so Norman breaks into the auxiliary control. He knocks out one of the crewmen on duty and starts to override everything.
I love how everything on the whole entire rest of the ship can be dismantled from auxiliary control.
Right.
Like, isn't that the definition of auxiliary? It's like just extra. It shouldn't.
Well, but then he also breaks into emergency manual monitor.
Oh.
And he jacks that up, and then he breaks into the engineering and beats up everybody.
Beats everyone up. I love how the one guy jumps from the second floor.
He's like, wah!
And he just does an enhanced cartwheel.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Like he jumps into the robot, and the robot kind of tosses him, so he can just do his great cartwheel in the background. It's awesome.
Right. So
Scotty's been nudged against the console.
He obviously must have got his ribs broken or something like that.
And he's on the button for the comms, and Kirk is like, Scotty, he's there. Scotty, talk to me. And he's like, all you gotta do is move his finger a little bit. Like, he's killing this comm.
He's killing everybody.
Like, he says one thing, but then he decides not to say anything else.
And next, Norman comes onto the bridge.
Just as Kirk was about to leave.
I like how he grabs Kirk's, arm, and he's like, brings him over.
Okay. He's like, I guess I'll stay here.
We found our intruder. Something about this episode is really funny. I don't think I've noticed it as much as other episodes, is that Harry Mudd and Norman are both much taller than Shatner.
Way taller than Shatner.
Like, Norman's really tall, and Harry Mudd.
Mudd's pretty tall, too.
Yeah, he's a big guy. So I was like, it's funny, like, I don't know how they shot it before. Maybe you just didn't get that look.
But in this episode, you can definitely see Harry Mudd's way taller.
He's far taller than Shatner.
Oh, they did a lot of close-ups in Mudd's women, though.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't get a lot of, like, them standing next to each other. Right. They did a ton of close-ups.
Right, right. Well, so Norman says he's got control of the ship. And
he's like, I'm invincible. And he does a strip tease and pulls up.
Shows his stomach off, yeah. Which is funny because the new version, it looks like it's funny because the old one was.
It was just really, like a bunch of weird wires.
He's like, look at me, I'm wires. It's like C-3PO's belly or something like that, you know?
It's like what Data's belly probably looks like.
Right.
But just like silver instead of white.
Yeah, but now the new one is like CGI'd and it's like some like machines.
Cool.
It looked cool, but it was just like, okay, so you have like a metal stomach? What's going on? You know, you can eat anything. But he claims that he has control of the ship, and any attempt to change course
will blow up.
Blow up. So
and he's like, I'm going to take a nap for 5 days. See ya.
Yeah, he goes for 4 days, and he literally, right by the turbo lift, he just shuts himself down, and he's just standing there.
In the way. Everyone's way.
I just love that. Like, Yohura's walking in, she's like, almost bumps into him. I was like,
Then Chekhov walks in.
Chekhov just looks at him like, what the hell is this guy? Yeah, it's just hilarious. And then all of a sudden he wakes up, and they get to the planet, unknown planet, unexplored. And he says, we need a landing party. Anybody who doesn't want to come to a landing party, the ship will be destroyed.
And he's like, we need all the main characters except for Scotty.
Scotty will stay, and Sulu. Sulu doesn't come.
Yeah.
But Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Chekhov, Uhura, and that's it. They come down. So they all come down onto this planet. And sure enough, who's down there? There is a bunch of women who are also robots. And who is on the throne when they get there is...
Imperial Majesty Mudd.
Mudd the First. Harry Mudd.
Mudd the First.
A great exchange happens between Mudd and Kirk, where they basically is... He's talking to what...
I thought you were in jail. It's like, yes.
I got out.
I was.
I got out. So he kind of explains some of the little bit of how he got out and just all the little... It's just a funny little pickup from where... That they know each other
from
before.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Kirk!
Kirk,
oh,
my
Harry Mudd. And then, like, Kirk, for some reason, walks way too close to Harry Mudd and the robots... Pulls out his communicator. He's like, yeah, I want to get the fuck out of here. And then the girl, it crumples up his
yes, crushes it.
His tinfoil communicator.
So Harry Mudd is, like you said, he's surrounded by these androids. And there's...
There's 500 of this one series.
500 of the Alice class.
Alice class.
And there's all a bunch of... There's
I like the Alice class.
The Alice class, the... I mean, there's a whole bunch of other ones that are... But yeah. He's made all these different versions.
She's much better than the Red Queen from last episode.
But so he said that he escaped. He was illegally selling patents and of a Vulcan fuel synthesizer, and that was on Deneb 5. And I guess to be doing that was the sentence of death. So he had to escape.
Like death by this.
Yeah.
Because Spock keeps listing all the ways he could die.
Right.
And they even have like a classic hanging. Like I thought that was kind of weird. All these like fancy ways of dying. And then it's like, oh, we can hang you too if you really want to be hanged.
Right. If that's what you want.
And we are super accommodating on any method of death you desire.
Oh, firing squad? Okay.
Fuck to death? Oh, sweet. Snoo, snoo.
Death by snoo. Right. I wonder if they offer that. next he shows that basically that that he's taking the ship and he's going to have all his crew beam down, and he's taking the ship by the androids, and the androids and him will take off with the ship.
He also shows off for some strange reason a replicant version of his wife and
Stella.
All she does is nag.
Harry Mudd, have you been drinking again?
Rah, 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 rah.
And then he says, like, shut up, Stella. And then she goes,
and yeah, she showers down.
She's like a carnival, like attraction.
Yeah. It's just, he just has her there just so he can get the last word. And I'm like, that's really a crappy reason to have someone you hate around.
And it's funny, too, because he says, like, that was the reason why he
left,
and he's been out in the universe doing his thing.
And every time he hears from her, he goes further and further out.
Further and further away. Just, I can't
take it. I wonder if we'll see Stella in Discovery. I also wonder if they might take a page out of, I know they're supposed to be separate timelines, but apparently his daughter in the Kelvin timeline is Bajoran, or half Bajoran, so it'd be interesting if he has a maybe a different wife, or a second wife in Discovery. Who knows?
I don't know. So the androids were created by a humanoid race in the Andromeda Galaxy.
I thought that was super interesting.
And that they basically did all these exploratory outposts, and this was one of them that was still running around, that was still working. This is where Harry Mudd found them. And once they're made to basically serve a humanoid population that, you know, do all the menial labor.
Super fancy C-3POs.
Right.
And better looking.
Much better looking. So,
all those Alice models.
All those Alice models. 500 of
who
them.
Who they got twins for. It was funny in the Memory Alpha for this episode. They found some twins they're trying to test out. And apparently they found a pair of prostitute twins who had a pet cat.
God. Oh my God.
And they brought them in, and I guess one of the producers had to hold the cat, and the cat was like half feral.
Was chewing on him.
Ripped up his shirt, and they ended up not hiring the like, why would you, like, hire two random twin prostitutes? You're telling me you can't hire any of the Doublemint twins from those commercials?
Doublemint. Wrigley's Doublemint.
Like, yeah. Seriously, like there's got to be twins in Hollywood. You're just going to, like, pick up some hookers? I'm like, I mean, that would have worked. That would have worked for, you know, Mudd's Woman, maybe, but...
That's a good point.
I just think that was kind of funny that they mentioned that in the Memory Alpha.
Well, so they go... like I said, so
I wonder what the rate was.
What's your going rate? So
cat food, just lots of cat food. Well, that's pretty cheap.
Canned version, not dry. So they're bringing all the crew down, and basically, like you said, Mudd's going to take over the ship, the Enterprise, and take off with it. They have to figure a way out. Obviously, they've been showed all these different things that could, like. McCoy's like, oh, the medical facility is beyond belief. You can't believe
it. This episode makes me think a little bit of when the bell breaks from TNG. Instead of the kids being shown all the things that they wanted to do or whatever, or not having to do things they don't want to do, is that like they're appealing to all of the bridge crew,
right?
What their most wanted thing is. So that just kind of popped into my head. I felt like it kind of paralleled when the bell breaks a little bit.
I guess so.
In a little bit of a way.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, like I said, like McCoy showed a medical facility, which is like blowing his mind. Same thing with
forever.
Scotty was seeing crazy
lasers. Those lasers were so fascinating.
Great, great laser show. Chekhov was like, oh, I could make it with both of you.
He's like, Alice models? Harry Mudd programmed you? This is pretty good because he knows Harry's into some pervy stuff. So,
Uhura finds out that they could just make a replicant of your body, put your brain in, and you could live like 500,000 years, like 500,000 years or something they said. So, and she's like, wow, that's a long time. So,
and be beautiful forever.
And
they don't offer Kirk anything though, which is strange.
Well, and Kirk says, well, this is a gilded cage. So sure. You're like, it's like, we need to get out of here, people. It's like, get your head out of the clouds. We got to get our ship back. We got to get off this planet.
One of the Alices comes in and he's like, well, please us. We want to go back to our ship. And she starts to freak out and she calls for the Norman bot. And I think, I don't know if Kirk was trying to make the Enterprise a point of contention at this point, but I think this is what makes them say no to Harry Mudd. Or I don't know. I don't get the impression that they were going to say no to Harry Mudd before this, but as soon as the Enterprise kind of came into play,
I think from what I could gather is basically they realized Harry Mudd was completely useless, and that
they met everyone on the Enterprise.
They still want to fill out their mission to serve mankind, and to be sort of like the servants of mankind. But they realized that Harry Mudd was a terrible person to use. And after being exposed to all the other people from the Enterprise, they're like, oh, there's different aspects of of humankind. It's not just his, you know, carnal pleasures of Harry Mudd.
But they still have a really sad. They think all humans are pretty crappy.
Oh, they do. So they want to. They basically are going to leave Harry Mudd on the planet. They're going to take off the Enterprise. They're going to enslave, you know, the whole universe,
the entire galaxy.
Yeah, the galaxy to basically, and they're just going to, you know, spoon feed everybody, which is fine. But they're like, but that's not what we want to do. We
want to do our thing. We don't want to be coddled.
Yeah, and. This is where they start. So Spock surmised that there must be one central processing for all this, and this was the Norman unit. So Norman, who was originally on the Enterprise and took everything over.
More sexist stuff. There's only one Norman unit. He's got the number one.
One Norman unit. Well, there was other guys. There was other guys around there. But
he was like the central computer.
Yeah, so he was a central. Like, yeah. And
seems kind of risky to put your central computer on the Enterprise.
Seemed a little odd, yeah. I think
Alice would have done a really good job.
Anytime that the robots don't have an answer to a question or an issue, they consult by some kind of communication to the Norman unit. And what the Enterprise crew starts doing is they confuse the hell out of them.
They just do all the stupidest and most illogical things. This episode is just bizarre.
It ends up being so like a silly theatrical. Like,
I don't know if this is a good episode. It's just
not really bizarre. It has some interesting points to it, but it's not that great. The ending remind me a lot of Whom Gods Destroy with what's his name from Axanar.
Garth of Izar, yeah.
It had that same feel of just like the theater troupe.
Oh, yeah, just weird stuff.
Just the weird stuff that they do.
Like, Chekhov, why are you laying on the ground? Stand up at attention and don't move. And he starts like spazzing out.
And then
he's like, oh, good, that's much better.
Much better. And then
Alice is like, what the?
And so the robots all start to kind of like get these illogical things and they start like short circuiting. And they get to this point where with Harry Mudd where they're like, Harry Mudd always lies. He never, you know,
tells the truth.
And then he goes, I'm lying to you right now. And he tells him something. He says, but if you're lying, that means you're telling the truth. But you always lie. So he gets caught in this like thing.
Causality loop.
So, but I mean, it's like, come on. Like, they have to be programmed beyond that.
Kirk can talk to death a robot or computer anytime.
So,
what if William Shatner does that for a part-time job? Just talks to computers.
Well, he's definitely been, like I said, he's posted all those people, trolling all those people on Twitter. So it's kind of like
that. That's true, I guess.
Anyway, so. So they basically get off the planet and they get the Enterprise back. And this is kind of cruel.
This is super cruel.
They make 500 of the Stella robots of Mudd's old wife, and they just leave him on the planet trapped with her, and she's just screaming at him constantly.
The entire time. I'm like, that is a nightmare because...
Well, but he did try to steal a ship and maroon them on a planet. So... I still think Kirk constantly
he failed, and B, he helped them mess with the robots. I feel like...
Yeah, but that's just because he knew he was going to get stranded, too. So, just like with Mudd's women...
But I feel like they should have done something like more responsible, like take him to an actual place, like rehabilitation, like they keep talking about.
Well, they did before... They hand over the authorities and Mudd's women. I mean, we don't see it, but it's insinuated. It's
stated, at the beginning of this episode, it's stated too. Right. But at the same time, it just like this is like it just seems so cruel to leave him there with like a screen. How could he sleep or anything?
Poetic justice, I guess.
I don't know. I think that's like a fate worse than death.
We know what circle of hell Dave will be in. So so that the end of that episode. But in the next episode, we get the animated series, Mudd's Passion, which is season 1, episode 10. This is November 10th, 1973. This episode's really weird.
If the last episode was weird, this one's really weird.
You think Mudd was weird? This is weirder. So Enterprise is arriving at the planet Motherlode.
That's not subtle.
I mean... Who names your planet Motherlode?
Harry Mudd.
Well, anyway,
but it's not his planet, so sadly. But
so they're going looking for Harry Mudd, and Spock tells the captain Captain Kirk that is pretty much that he's going to be here, so he's probably here. They get to the planet, and Mudd is selling these illegal drugs to the miners there. And it's supposed to be this love drug.
Harry Mudd and miners.
Definitely likes to play up to the rubes.
Yeah.
So he gets the miners. This is a weird scene, too. So he's up on like a carnival barker stage, and he's selling this love.
Wonder drug.
This wonder drug to keep them, whoever you want.
Anyone
fall
you
in
want.
Love
fall
with,
in love with you.
You know, you take this drug.
Only heterosexual relationships will work with this drug.
So he says, watch as I show you. And this girl comes up and goes, oh, you know, Harry, I
Let's
just
go back to the ship and do it.
Yeah. And he's like, okay. And then all of a sudden,
Spock shoots her with a phaser.
Which is like, how did you know this?
Like, how did you know that she was
so she's a reptilian illusion. She's not even a woman. She's a reptilian that makes an illusion to make her look like a woman. So he was kissing a reptile at that moment. It's hilarious.
Taken by the T-Rex.
He's like, oh, your teeth are cutting my lips.
But don't take our word for it.
The miners are going nuts because they realize he's swindling them, and they're going to kill him. And then Mudd's like, oh, I guess you could take me. And Spock, fires, a giant, hole in the ground.
He shoots, I looked away for a second, and I saw this giant crater in the ground. And then you see the Enterprise, and I'm like, did the Enterprise fire from orbit?
No, it was just a phaser.
It's a phaser. You see this tiny little trough. It carves in the ground when you see it, when Spock's doing it initially.
Right.
Then it cuts to a further back one, and there's just all this rubble and all this stuff in between them
and
the crowd.
It's pretty nuts.
Insane. I thought I had to rewind it because I looked away and I was like, did the Enterprise just fire from orbit?
I know, it's pretty crazy. It's giant, giant crater. But anyway, so they beam up to the Enterprise. Mudd is put into prison, obviously. And Spock's going to write up a full report to get him back into not prison, but whatever they call him, rehabilitation.
Yeah. So Nurse Chapel needs to give him a checkup,
a medical report, right?
Medical report.
So she makes a passing comment to Spock, basically you really look good today. I don't know what she said to him, but something like basically
shack up later.
And Spock's
I'll
like,
go to that.
Spock's like. You know, that's illogical. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And Mudd picks up on this and goes, oh, I see you got eyes for Spock. Yeah, it's too bad he doesn't want to reciprocate any of that.
Oh, I've got this fine little love potion right here.
I like how he still has a love potion on him in jail.
They do not frisk very much in the 24th century.
So she doesn't believe him, but then he kind of talks her into it. He says, all you got to do is take it.
Rub it on your skin.
And then touch him. And once you touch him, he'll automatically fall in love with you.
And it's really weird. He doesn't seem like he's ever seen the love potion in work, but somehow he knows it's going to make her woozy, so he picks her pocket, steals her identification and her type 1 phaser.
Yeah, yeah. And
why is she carrying a type 1 phaser just on her, just randomly walking around the Enterprise?
Well, she's watching Harry Mudd. I mean, they've ran into him twice, I guess.
That's true, I guess.
But why not just have a security detail?
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Well, it's an animated series, so what are you going to do?
Can't spend that money.
Yeah. Can't draw that extra guy. That's crazy. So,
you can't just recolor Kirk.
Yeah, that would be too difficult.
Because he's colorblind, he might not even rechange the color.
Nurse Chapel then goes into... give her report to Spock, but then she suddenly just falls into his lap.
Sits on his lap, caresses his neck.
I'm like, this is a child's cartoon. It's like, when is this going to, what is going on?
Seduction at its finest. For
it's like, oh, I just fell on your lap. Oh.
Are you well, Miss Chapel? I'm fine. You're so strong.
But the drugs don't take effect. The love potion doesn't affect Spock. And he's like, just get back to your work. What are you doing?
She's like, oh, can I come help you with this?
Yeah.
He's like, why? That would be illogical. And she's like, oh, yeah, sure, it's illogical.
So fine.
She goes back to check up on Mudd, and he's gone.
He's gone. He's in the shuttle bay, choosing a shuttlecraft.
Like, ooh, which one should I pick?
Oh, should I take the one with the flames on the side?
Yes.
Or the stars? But Nurse Chapel catches up with him.
Gets her own phaser.
Yeah, and then disarms him.
Shoots a bunch of the crystals, and they go... although the vapor gets sucked into the vents.
Right. But then Mud kind of takes advantage and grabs her instead. I forgot how that works.
It was really bizarre looking. It was like, oh, I've got to take a hostage. And so she just kind of like gives up. It was
like, all right.
It was the weirdest thing. It's like, how did he even get her in a weird... It just kind of
And they
happened.
Steal a shuttlecraft and they go down to a planet down below. It's not the same planet.
It's like
planet.
A barren planet somehow.
Oh, because they were exploring another planet after that. They just, they went to another... I think that was mentioned. But there was. It's just an uninhabited planet, a Class M planet. And so they're down there. And Mud's like, oh, I'll just take my chances down here with my love potion and whatever in Nurse Chapel.
Well, he was going to just leave her there and make the Enterprise go pick her up so that
as
a distraction, he was going to go off, do whatever he wanted to.
Well,
but
when he calls up to the bridge that that she's his hostage, Spock...
My Christine!
I'm in love. And I do like, even before this happens, Spock just tells like Kirk and McCoy, like, I don't feel right.
Oh yeah,
there's something.
I'm experiencing some feeling.
And Spock's like, I mean, Kirk's like, what? It's great.
It's pretty good.
And so, anyways, so they Christine, and you know, I gotta go save Christine. That's the whole thing.
I want to save Christine, and then McCoy's like, I don't think you should. You're not feeling it. You should go lay down.
And Kirk's like, he's stronger than us. He's smarter than us. Maybe we just let him go with this.
And I'm gonna come down with him to make sure he's okay. And that's when you see like the stuff flutter into the
right into the bridge. And this is when he goes down. Scotty and
the cat lady
all of a sudden,
oh, you're looking
good for a human.
Scotty, like, get some pussy.
He's like,
literally on the bridge.
And McCoy's like saying, I saved Kirk, I saved Spock, I've saved everybody.
I'd save the Enterprise.
If it had a heart, I'd save them.
Now let's talk about your heart and,
yes.
and what's on top of it.
Yes.
Your boobies. No.
Honk, honk.
Man. And then somehow, like, the four-armed, like, replacement for Chekhov just has his harp on the bridge.
Yeah, he's playing it on the bridge.
He's, like, playing it while he's watching.
So the bridge just gets silly. The transporter room, people are dancing and stuff inside of it.
Well, like, he's playing it while Scotty and the cat lady are banging on the bridge.
Yeah. It's like, this is great.
Awesome.
Meanwhile, down on the
space bar.
Meanwhile, down on the planet, Spock and Kirk have a weird moment. I don't want to say it's homosexual, but it's pretty darn close.
It's like, oh, I'm so glad I have a friend as good as you, Kirk.
I feel the same.
I feel the same way. And then,
let's just lay down on these rocks here and...
Rock monsters!
So there are rock monsters, unfortunately, and they're giant, Godzilla size. And Kirk decides to throw the last two of those love potions at him.
But somehow there's like 10 of them, and they shotgun when they come out of his hand.
Yeah, and the rock monsters, instead of falling in love, because it would have been hilarious to see them like making love. Two giant rock monsters making love in the background or something like that.
They start fighting each other instead of them. But Kirk still has to do his crazy combat roles to get out of their fighting.
Right. Whoa. And
Harry Mudd's amazed that it works.
Yeah.
Because Kirk's like, could you get your hands off her? It'd be hilarious if Spock was like grabbing her ass.
Nurse Chapel's loving every minute. Well,
Up on the bridge. Captain, I'm never going to get a chance to be felt by Spock again. Please just let it happen.
Next scene is...
There's rock monsters trying to kill us.
Rock monster. So next thing we get is the bridge. Everyone's fighting. They're not very happy with each other.
Super pissed.
So the love potion has this also... just as bad reaction if people didn't start hating that person that they fell in love with.
Yeah, so you fall in love for a few minutes and you fall into
you're
hate
like, you're
for
like,
hours.
Oh, fuck you.
So
fuck you.
They're back up and they've got Harry in jail again. And Spock actually offers to help Nurse Chapel. She's like, why would I want any help? And so she's hating him now.
Yeah, and that's wraps up that. It seems too adult for kids.
Way too adult. And they still, again, there's a couple instances where they dropped really big words that I don't even know what they mean. A couple times in the episode, I was like, what is that word? Like, they said it, and I'm like, I'm not sure what he means by that. It's not a word you normally hear.
I do recall there's a couple larger words in there. I don't remember what it was, they were, too. But, I mean,
it wasn't inscrutable. It's not memorable like inscrutable was.
But it was just, like thrown in.
It's just like some, it's a throw. And they didn't even use words like that in the original series, like live action. But they're throwing in these, like, giant words.
Right.
For, like, the kids. So it's just, this show makes no sense.
So,
it's a kid's show, anyway.
Harry Mudd. These are the three episodes we get them. Kind of paint the picture of them. Obviously, anime series is probably lesser known, but obviously Mudd's Women, very popular. iMudd, maybe a little less popular, but well known. Dave, what do you think of Harry Mudd?
I love the idea of Harry Mudd as a character. I mean, granted, he's super sexist, and all his episodes kind of are in that vein.
He's not meant to be a shiny example of anything.
That's true. But it's just funny to see such a character who's just so, like, weirdly flamboyant. And it's nice to see, like, a regular person in Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see a lot of regular people.
Right.
In Star Trek. And not any regular people that are reoccurring characters. Usually, if there's any regular people, you see them for one episode, and that's it.
Right.
So I think it's great that you get to see a reoccurring, quote-unquote, normal person in Star Trek.
Right.
He's fun, he's silly, and I just don't know how he's going to turn out in Discovery. I feel like Rainn Wilson is way too old looking, or just the way he looks in the trailer, he looks way too old to be Harry Mudd,
right.
If it's 10 years before Kirk. Because, I mean...
That doesn't bother me as much. He seems way too intense, from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, but we see him for like two lines. So, I mean, it's not a lot to go on. But Star Trek Discovery itself is going to be way more intense than Star Trek usually
is. I know, but, like, something great about Mudd is that there's a bit of levity with him. So it's like, even though when he, you know, is doing these dastardly deeds, he's kind of funny about it. Like, he's not, like, he doesn't take himself so serious. He makes little jokes and he's always, like, trying to... You know, like...
He's very just trying to get everyone to go along with it. He's really charismatic.
Yeah, and I was, it's interesting, I was listening to a Sam Harris thing about violence and how it's like some people use their personalities to get into your life before the violence begins, and it's like personalities, like charisma and stuff like that is a tool just as much as anything else, as brute strength or... whatever else, you're cunning,
sure.
Your personality, if you can charm people for no reason whatsoever and just right off the bat, people like you or they take your word for it. That's a gift, you know?
And he's very charming, I think, even though he's like kind of frumpy and weird hair. He's
kind of a pirate-ish swashbuckler look.
But he's definitely like got charisma and he's very likable. And like, you know, and even when Kirk sees him in the second episode, it's like, Harry Mudd.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's like, I feel like Kirk and Harry Mudd would be like best friends if they weren't like
on opposite side, ethical, moral, belief system.
Sort of, but I mean, like, Kirk's got the Starfleet thing and he's got a ship and he's got to follow these rules. But I feel like if Kirk didn't have these rules...
He might be more like Harry Mudd.
I think him and Harry Mudd would get along swimmingly.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Maybe. My thing with Harry Mudd is every episode he starts off really strong and he peters out to the end. Like, he has these great, like, opening... acts. Like, he's, you know, I mean, obviously Mudd's Women, they kind of caught him off guard, but he's got all these, like, you know, aces in the hole he's gonna play against you and stuff like that, but then, like, he doesn't do the follow through. Like, that's his biggest problem. He's a little bit incompetent. Like, he's not very thorough. He's just like, I got this great idea, let's do this, and then he doesn't really
kind of half-asses it.
Yeah, he half-asses it and doesn't really finish up what he's doing. So,
but to be fair, in Mudd's Women, Eve kind of messed it up for him. She wasn't super reliable.
Sure. Yeah, can't rely on the help.
And then the robots turned against him, and I'm Mudd, so he couldn't really do anything about that. And then he just, like, decided to hang out instead of flying away.
Right.
After he left Christine there.
Right, right. Which he should have taken off.
He should have been like, oh, see ya. Oh, you can breathe. Nothing's around. Nothing will kill you. You'll be fine. I'm going now.
Yeah, yeah. I
feel like if it was like an hour long, and that probably would have happened. But since it was like a, you know, a 22-minute episode, I feel like they just had him stay just because.
I like the idea of a opportunist in the galaxy, just doing sort of like a Ferengi. Maybe not as like disciplined on profit kind of idea, but definitely.
Sure, but like he's definitely the.
But he's always
money
looking.
Man.
He's always looking for an angle.
The next score.
Yeah, always looking for an angle. How he can make money and how he could take advantage of some. But that's his problem. He's always, instead of delivering the real goods, he's always got like a fake thing.
Yeah,
he's always selling the snake oil.
He's a scammer, yeah.
Yeah, so he's always selling the snake oil to people, and he's not like, I mean, you go back into like the 30s and 40s, people used to go around towns and selling like love potions.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Or make yourself more virile and stuff like that, you know. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that. I don't know, it's just, he's an interesting character, and I am interested to see what they do with Discovery with him. I just hope they keep his... the feel of
it. I mean, they hired Rainn Wilson. So, I mean, like, why would they hire him if they're not going to use his comedic ability? That just seems...
I hope so.
That just seems like a really bad casting. I'm not going to, like, use his... I think that's what he's probably biggest known for. Sure, he can play serious roles, but, I mean...
Right.
You're going to cast a guy who was, like, the goof of Star Trek in a new show. Like, let him still be kind of goofy. And you know, like, I think we talked about, like, maybe not last episode... What was the last episode? But I think he might be actually trying to help and discover that.
Yeah, we were talking with that Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Her, we were talking on that.
Yeah, maybe he's, like, scooted up close enough to be inside the shield so that she could, like, fly across.
Sure.
Maybe into his ship. Maybe she escapes with Harry Mudd somehow.
It's a possibility.
Maybe, like, he's actually being helpful instead of, like, a huge hindrance.
Yeah.
And that would make sense that maybe that's his cargo hold that's got the giant fields of weed in it or something like that.
Man.
That she's staring at.
Legalize it.
But it's just, granted, we've got like two lines of him, so it's really hard to know exactly what's happening.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to read into it. I mean, it's like...
But just he's got a full beard, so they handle, and he's got all this gray in his beard. I'm just like, he just seems really old to be Harry Mudd.
I don't mind the look as much. I mean, I hope that he looks a little space piratey, not like I hope he has that.
But one of the outfits looks pretty space piratey. It almost looks a little bit like kind of reminds me of Babylon 5, the guy with the fins on his, the hair that fans out. Yeah. The costume kind of reminded me of his a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit less militaristic, but more like functional.
Right. Gotcha. That's cool. I mean, I hope so. And but I hope they keep with this, the air of him, you know. Like,
yeah, I hope his personality is still kind of there. But he definitely seems darker because Discovery's going to be a darker show. But I hope he is the point of levity for the show.
Yeah.
As dark as the show looks and, you know, dealing with war and all this stuff like that, the show's going to need some levity, and his character would be the perfect person to add it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I've always enjoyed Harry Mudd. I think iMudd starts off strong.
He's a good character despite his episodes not being fantastic.
Yeah, like Muzz Women's a good episode.
It's a good episode.
It's fun to watch, and I think people forget how good it is. I mean, obviously the thing with the miners at the end gets a little drawn out, but Mudd's Women's pretty good. The iMudd has a good premise. It gets silly at the end.
It's really silly.
It's like it's like theater troupe at the end, and I just don't. It's like, I don't really care. You know, it's just like now we're just being silly. You know, we're just
it's silly, but not. It's not even funny. It's just awkward.
Well, like the part where like
they're making a bomb and they're like throwing it around like a baseball.
It's like,
it's
like, who cares?
It's just like, it's so.
And like, wouldn't the android just go like, obviously they're just fucking with us?
Sleep mode.
It'd be hilarious. They just it doesn't work at all. So that. you know, and then like the love potion thing from the animated series. I think it has some interesting parts to it. I just think Nurse Chapel, obviously, I don't understand why she fell for that. Secondly, I don't understand why she wasn't reprimanded afterward for trying to do all that. I don't know. Just there's a lot going on.
Animated series. No one gets reprimanded for anything.
No. Just fly the ship into the sun. Who cares?
Yeah, it'll be fine. We'll come out the other side. We've got shields. It'll, whoa, wait, no, we died. Oops.
Oh, man, we didn't make it. But, yeah, so Harry Mudd, a great character. I am excited to see him in Discovery, and I hope that it's fun. I hope that we get some... I'm sure he's not like going to be a long-standing character. I'm sure he'll be on an episode or two, and then he'll kind of go away. Maybe he'll make a return later on, but...
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I can see...
He's like a goofy Han Solo.
Yeah.
With less scruples.
Pretty much.
He seems like a libertarian...
But he's not super attached to a ship. He's like, oh, he killed my ship, but it's okay. I can get it. I can steal it.
Well, he just keeps stealing ships. So he just is like, yeah, I'll steal another ship, you know.
You took everything we had.
And he's like, you know, I had a master's license to operate. He's like, incorrect. He says it was revoked. Well, it's not his fault there, you know.
Like, I see, like, smuggling was revoked. And I'm like, smuggler's not something that should be, like, is that, like, a normal thing where you can, like, be a legal smuggler? It just doesn't seem...
Right.
I think that was kind of funny. And I sat there and paused it. I looked at his record to see if it could provide any clues to what they're wanting to do with Discovery. And it's all really petty stuff.
Right.
So, like, it's going to – I just don't see that really being – I mean, I guess they could tie parts of it into Discovery, but I feel like this is going to be prior to his record.
Sure.
Possibly.
Well,
who knows?
I just want to just bring up also that the actor who played Mudd in the original series and voiced in the anime series is Roger C. Carman. He was born September 27th, 1932, and he died November 11th, 1986. He's most famous for the Star Trek, but he played in a whole bunch of other things. Patty Duke Show, Man from U.N.C.L.E., Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. I mean, a bunch of stuff, the Munsters. Anyways, but other geek side of thing is that he was a voice in the Transformers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he played Cyclonus, and he was in the movie, and he voiced opposite of Leonard Nimoy when Leonard Nimoy had the voice of Galvatron, which was a rebuilt Megatron. So... that's the 19. I think 1985 or 6. I can't remember when that exactly happened. So.
Oh, it was toward the end of his life. That's kind of sad.
Right. So yeah. So he. But he died pretty suddenly. Actually, he. I think it wasn't an aneurysm, but it's something like a burst blood vessel in his neck. Exploded, and I think one of his arteries exploded, and he.
Oh man!
But I mean, it had to do with his. He had poor health.
Yeah.
Anyways, but that was. But he died, like I said, in 1986.
Beyond being a possible character witness in Star Trek IV, they were also talking about him possibly being in Star Trek Next Generation Season 1.
Right.
He died before they started shooting.
Right, so that would have been cool.
I would have loved to see him and giving Picard crap.
Yeah, it'd be great to have him.
Fantastic.
Because he could have definitely done it. He would have been a great character to show up here and there.
Oh, man.
That would have been cool.
He'd be really old Harry Mudd, because, I mean, it's like 70, 80 years later.
Who knows? Maybe it was like frozen like Khan or something like that.
Maybe, yeah. He kept a carbonite.
I mean, the original series, I mean, we don't get too many reoccurring characters either.
Like, Star Trek usually doesn't have a lot of recurring characters.
I mean, we had...
Not till Deep Space Nine to get, like, lots of...
Besides the crew, characters. Like, we had Lieutenant Riley a couple times, I think two episodes.
Ensign Rose kind of reoccurring.
Well, yeah, that's next gen, but for original series, not too
really.
Much. You know? You don't get too many, so... I mean, obviously, Khan comes back for the movie, but that's about it. So, even Cyrano Jones, we only see him once.
No, we see him twice.
Oh, and TOS. He's in the anime series as well. Yeah, that's right. But so, did we touch on the Robots Gone Wild? Or did we touch on that this episode, Mudd's Women? I can't remember.
Nope, we didn't.
What do we talked about? Oh, we talked more about Data. We talked a little bit
about Data. We talked about the one where
Roger Corby.
The one where Shatner got on the spinny wheel.
Yeah, that's what little girls are made of. Yeah, yeah, with Dr. Roger Corby.
Oh yeah,
so that's a good episode too. But yeah, I'm surprised we didn't talk about Mud's Women in that one. Maybe we just didn't think about it for.
Yeah,
what was that? What was that, episode 6 or 8 or something? I can't remember.
It was early.
Yeah, so
I can't remember. Robots got wild. we've always said we're going to do another one. Eventually, we can lump this one in with another Robots Gone Wild.
Someday.
And okay. Holograms Gone Wild. We should do a real one. I mean, the Moriarty one was kind of one, but
yeah.
We can do some more with Holograms for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Well, anything about
Harry Mudd?
Harry Mudd.
Oh, I just really want him to be awesome in Discovery. I really want Wayne Wilson to nail it. I hope they put out another trailer soon. I'd love to see what's... more of what's happening with Discovery. I'm so pumped for the show. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it looks great.
As soon as Game of Thrones is over, I'm turning on CBS All Access. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, we don't have too long now.
Yeah, it's like 4 or 5 weeks.
Oh my God.
It's coming!
Very soon.
It's like winter's coming. Star Trek is coming.
Star Trek's coming. Awesome.
I can't wait. What about you?
I love this old character. I'm excited to see the new iteration of him. He's silly. He's kind of funny. I mean, the episodes aren't amazing, but they're fun.
Yeah.
The animated series is a little off.
He's done sex trafficking before, and they did it in a weird, light, silly way in Mudd's Woman. Like, what if he's doing it again in this? But it's like way darker because it's the darker. Star Trek, the way they're portraying Discovery.
Maybe they will.
Who knows? But it looks like he's still... even if he's in the sex trafficking, he's definitely still in the drugs, I think. Because I'm pretty sure that's what Sequoia Martin Green walks into.
Yeah.
Martin Sequoia Green. I can't ever remember the way her name goes, but...
Sequoia Martin Green.
It'll be fun to see how it turns out. I can't wait. I hope you guys can't wait. But don't take our word for it.
Don't take... Dun-dun-dun.
Oh... Well, all our music is provided by Warp 11, sans the intro. That is by Dave Wilkes. You can find the show at Synthaholics.com. You can check out our Twitter page at Synthaholic Duo. We have a Facebook group, facebook.com/group/Synthaholics. Type that 5 times fast. me personally, you can find me at David_J_Duncan on Twitter. Same thing on Instagram if you like pictures of liquor.
Mm-hmm. Much liquor. I'm on Blackbird 2004 on Twitter, and we are Synthaholics Duo on Twitter. Also, if you have a chance, we greatly appreciate if you want to go to our Synthaholics.com page and click on the Patreon. And if you have a buck, throw us a buck for the show. Just to keep the operational levels, keep things going, it'd be great. And if you can do more, we appreciate it. If you can't donate to us, we totally understand. Another way to support the show is definitely to go on to iTunes and to rate and review us. Obviously, we'd enjoy 5 stars. All the stars. Give us all your hearts, moons, yellow moons, green diamonds. Or blue diamonds.
And blue moon.
Whatever. And
lucky charms. Give us all the lucky charms.
Give us the lucky charms. Give us a nice review. A couple lines would be great. Also, great way to support the show is tell a friend. Tell somebody you know who's into podcasts.
Word of mouth is big.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
huge for
if,
us.
Yeah. I mean, if you can just tell
it's
somebody.
Bigly. It's going to be great.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be really big. Synthaholics. I'm telling you right now. I can't get out of this voice now. But if you can get on to tell your friends, tell your family, tell your grocer, tell your auto mechanic.
Tell your doctor. Tell your proctologist.
Oh, yeah. He's checking for cancer.
If you need a laugh, just think about us.
just put on the earbuds. Yeah, but so we're...
Share it with the proctologist.
Share with your proctologist, Synthaholics. Hey, if you like butt jokes, Synthaholics is the way to go.
Especially if you go listen to Bada Bing, Bada Bang Alamo. Woo!
A lot of butt jokes on that one.
A lot of butt jokes.
But thank you for just... tuning in and listening to us. We greatly appreciate you
and our audience
and everything that everyone's been, you know, our Facebook group, everyone's been chiming in, putting articles and posting pictures, especially Star Trek Las Vegas. And
oh, yeah, thank you everyone who's been posting that. Thanks, Will, for all those pictures of the Discovery prop.
Yeah.
It's great. Joe, you put up some stuff.
Joe DePinto was great. I had him last
Tanya,
episode.
Tanya, we're still waiting for you putting up some pictures. So
yeah, what's going on? What's happening? Where's the love? So, yeah, but we do appreciate it. And everyone's, you know, so it's been, we have this nice little community that started. So, if you know, it's on the Facebook page. So definitely come on to the Facebook page and join your other Trek friends.
Your other crazy Trek drunken friends who like to have fun. Yeah, it's a great place. We love our peoples.
We do.
Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. We, you know, wouldn't really be here without people listening to the show. So we thank you so very much for letting us in your ear once a week.
Once a year puts you in your ear, actually. We hope you listen like more than once a year.
Would be nice.
But I've had a couple drinks already, so now I'm feeling a little loopy.
I made a 6-shot Tokyo tea.
Yeah.
It was green. Scotty would be proud.
It's green. But thank you for everyone, for everything. Love you.
Love you guys.
Love you long time.
Love you. We love you. We love you long time, like Muds Women.
Muds Women, that's right.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Bullshit up, pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Were we too rambly at the end?
We were a wee bit rambly. I think it was the Tokyo tea.
The Tokyo tea has taken over me.
Over we.
Harry Mudd. What a name. Mudd spelled backwards is dumb.
Yep. Oh, speaking of Mudd, I loved it when my, remember Mudd jeans?
No. Oh, the dirty jeans?
No, but they were branded Mudd jeans.
Is that like, what they were called that?
Like instead of like a Levi, you know, the brown patch on the back where it said, instead of Levi, it said Mudd. And okay. My sister loved to wear, maybe it was a Southern thing, I don't know.
I think it was.
it sounds like a Southern thing because of like, you know, mud riding and things like that. Anyway, like, I'd be sitting down and my sister would walk in the room and I'd notice if it said Mudd on the back of her jeans, I'm like, oh, hey, Cherith. You got Mudd on your jeans. And she's like, where?
Where? What?
I had so much fun with her with those jeans. Because she fell for it all the time.
Wouldn't you have Mudd? You'd just be afraid it looked like poo at the back of your jeans? my brother, growing up, back in the 90s, there was this thing called... everyone wore these shirts. I don't know why they did. It was a weird time. They had bum equipment. Remember that? BUM, and it had there was like workout shirts and stuff like that, and like sweatshirts, but said it was BUM. I don't know what it stood for. It was like B period U period M period, and it was it said bum. And my friend would always, because he would see my brother with it, and he goes, "Someday we'll get you some real shirts, not that bum shirt." You know, I don't. It was just a weird. I don't understand what that was even about.
Maybe that's a northern thing. I don't know. I don't remember the bum, but I definitely remember Mudd jeans.
No recollection of Mudd jeans.
Maybe they were only a girl brand of jeans. I don't know. But it was always funny. My mom would be like, "Cherith, he's talking about the brand of your jeans."
Oh, okay.
It's just funny how many times I got her.
All the time. Fell for it every time. You're a regular Harry Mudd when you come knocking people's jeans brands.
Knocking them.
Just
all over the place.
All over the place. They don't know what where they're going.
A bruise that denim doesn't even matter as long as you're in them. A punch your jeans. It's a Lonely Island song.
What is it?
It's a Lonely Island song.
Oh. Punch them in the
cock. Sandberg.
Punch them in the dick.
Punch your jeans.
Punch your jeans. Punch them right in the dick.
Punch your jeans at all three. I'll pull up a song.
Oh, no.